Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello there.
Hello, Devin. All right, so we're going to do something a little different tonight, but not yet. So Devin, first off, what do you have for us?
A lie will gallop halfway around the world before the truth has time to pull its breeches on.
I just saw that quote somewhere else.
I know exactly where you saw it.
Did you send that to like us as a group or something?
You saw it at the beginning of chapter 6 on the book, Devolution.
Yeah. I was like, where did I just read that? That sounds so familiar.
Yes.
Nice.
That's a great quote.
Yeah.
But there's another version of it. You ever see the movie Doubt?
Yes.
Philip C. Hoffman.
Yeah, and I forget who else.
Meryl Streep, Amy Adams. Wow. They're nuns. He's a priest.
Maybe I did not, but whatever, okay.
Really good movie. I think it was based on a play. But,
Nope.
Anyway, I think it's a weird movie. The idea is, like, they think the priest had a sketchy past with kids, you know, but no one's sure.
Right, right.
And he's really likable, but the one nun doesn't like him, but she's also kind of nasty. So the whole thing, okay. You are kind of doubting both ways, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
But he gives, it's like during one of his sermons, and he's up there, and he's discussing, he's like, I forget. I think that was an accent, but I'll have to do it. He's like, in Ireland, there was a parish, and there's a woman saying, I talked about my sister-in-law in a terrible way, and now everybody thinks she's, really bad or something, or nasty. She did something terrible. I said it when I was angry, and, you know, she didn't actually do these things. She's like, now what can I do? He's like, well, I want you to take your pillow. She's like, oh, okay. He's like, go to the top of the tallest building in your town. Slice it open. I want you to dump out all the feathers. Let them fly all around town. And then when you're done with that, go pick up every feather. And she's like, well, Father, that's impossible. He's like, he says, and that is gossip.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's the same type of thing.
Yeah, there's like you can't find them all. You can't retrieve them all.
It's impossible. Once you've already put the thing out there, you cannot put them back into Pandora's box.
Yeah, I like that. How it's like the lie is already ran halfway around the world before you even had a chance to put your breeches on. Like it's such a good. It's like wait, gone.
And it's nothing. Nothing specific. I'm not there's no one I'm harboring some type of thing against. Spreading things.
The lies.
I just love that. I love that scene. I'll have to send it to you. He's much more intense. He does it much more intense. And he's looking at the nun who he doesn't like. Meryl Streep.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's it's a fun one. Yeah, don't gossip, kids. Unless you really have a good reason and the person is maybe nasty to people, then I will definitely talk about people behind their backs, because that's like a Seinfeld quote too. Like I'm not going to talk about him in front of him. That's just mean. That's nasty.
That's what was I going to say? Something about the way people can say things and get. There's no, I don't know. There's, like, it, even now with AI, where you can make AI make someone say something, you know, and they'll basically find their voice and do this whole thing in their voice. So it's like, how do you even, how, like, there's, it's so, the whole world is so quick to judge people and so quick to make assumptions and just go off of whatever they hear people say. And, you know, it's just impossible. That's, like you said, that's gossip. It's impossible to control it. And now possible. Even more so with AI, where they can make, you know, make you sound like you said something. Like, now what do we
do? Can,
you know,
they
like,
can create new feathers.
Right. Well, maybe, like, actually, maybe this is one of the benefits of AI, that like, if AI can do this type of stuff, then now like, well, not that it's a good thing, but like, you know, audio evidence would not be as strong anymore, you know?
So then you'll really never know if something was true.
Unless, right. Unless there's like, right. Unless you have an eyewitness person who saw it, who then is testifying.
Yeah. So maybe you're going like, well, I don't believe it because you just end up not believing anything, whether that's good or bad. I think we're all kind of in that place anyway right now. Like, I don't know. What did you hear? Like, what? Who knows?
I know. Just... Well, so I think I was telling you about my student who wrote a really eloquent thing for his artist statement. Uh-huh. And I'd seen his writing before, but I can't remember now if it was like before AI was around. You know, because I was like, I think it was like earlier this year and late last year, like, oh, this is really nice. But ChatGPT was around. But then I actually today or yesterday, I was helping another student, and he was, I was at one computer, and then behind me, he was facing the opposite direction on his computer. And he's sitting there like typing into his artist statement, just like, like adding new information, you know, adding new stuff in. And just like, I'm watching him write this like beautiful writing. I'm like, oh, well, there you go. Like, there's my evidence. Like, he actually is writing it. You know, it's just his mind, his mind's voice is different than his voice, which is actually,
definitely. And writing is an art, obviously. So depending on what you're doing, but it's like when someone learns you can sing or play an instrument. Right. Really? You sing? I didn't know that. I never hear you sing. Like, I don't walk around work singing songs. That'd be weird. Or playing guitar. Like,
It is weird though when you see like an actor, you know, singing. They're actually singing in a movie or whatever. I just saw a clip of the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line doing like a Christmas song, and they're all like in the studio sing along, and it's Kelsey brother and all the other guys like singing along. I was like, oh, look at these guys, look, they can sing. Same idea.
You have another you have a skill that's not you can have two skills at once.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
This the idea of kind of what's it, you know, stealing other people's words. What's the perjury? Not perjury. Whatever. Corinne is right now, currently right now behind me in the other room. She's finishing up her last of four writing examples or five writing examples that she has to do to apply for, the high school that she wants to go to next year. Mm-hmm. And, it's a magnet school, and so she's applying for fine art and she's applying for creative writing, like both of them, just to, you know, kind of open up her options, and also because she likes both. Mm-hmm. And she's a beautiful writer, like really good, especially fiction. Like, she's the way her mind thinks up characters and builds, you know, plot line and mm-hmm. you know, illusion and the way she writes people's voice, and like, she does a really good job.
Also say her uncle got her a few books on that too.
Yeah, there you go.
Do plot lines and set up character arcs and
yeah, and I was just thinking, like, you know, they still, so they have, you apply with these five writings, then you actually have to come into the school or into one of the schools, local school that all the magnet schools go to for writing, and then they're actually writing in person. So I guess that's their fail safe, right? So if you have them come in and they write for whatever they write, I think it's like a 2-hour time period, they have to write a prompt on a prompt. And, you know, if their writing is not comparable to what they're turning in, then
Right. Yeah. That, opponents. I mean, that's a good way. Yeah. You got to like take a sample size of anything that's coming in.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's, but I was thinking of, singing and beards, I feel like, are the same in that both, if you can do it, you're a fan of it. And if you can't, you're annoyed by it.
Singing and beards.
You know?
Yeah, right.
Like people can't grow sing, a beard don't mind singing in choirs and musicals. I don't know, maybe not musicals. But, you know, it's kind of, because it's like, oh, that's a fun, I recognize that's a fun thing to do. And same thing with beards. No one's ever been like, beards are stupid. That can grow a really good beard.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah. Like, we know why beards are stupid. We know, you know why you
it's
think
all right.
that.
You can't grow one. It's all right.
It's all right. Yeah, not everybody can grow a beard. Oh, man. I'm trying to check on my posts.
So the posts were, this is, yeah, that I know all this is new, and we're trying stuff out. We're really working on trying to find a way to, if not send out books for a reasonable price, we're trying to get like a meeting place and things like this, where this time, for the first time, we're going to try, Dustin came up with it, to do it on the meeting on Instagram Live, just to test it out.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the end of the podcast, so we'll do maybe a 30 minutes or something, and then we'll continue on with like our kind of halfway review. We figure we'll do a halfway review because we can talk about what we think is going to happen, and
then
if you don't know, it's Max Brooks's Devolution, a first-hand account of the Rainier Sasquatch Massacre.
Oh yeah,
and it's pretty good. We have a book club. Also, if you didn't know, the EDC book club.
So the other night, like, we were going back and forth on some ideas about the book club and also some ideas of different logos. And when I started drawing logos, then it was like a flood of logos. I was popping into my head. I was like, how about this? You know, I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. You know, like thinking of these other things. And actually Nicole had a good idea of like a book that's kind of a Swiss Army knife. So, you know, the book, like out of the pages come the different things that a Swiss Army knife would have, you know, knife, saw, scissors, such and such. So that's kind of fun. And then just that, and you had the idea of stacked books that the edges look like the letters EDC.
Right.
And then also your kind of little hiker guy trying to do the hiker holding a book, you know, with the walking hiking stick and stuff. So I thought that'd be cool. So I messed around with that one. I also had, like, originally I had the idea of just like a book open with all the pages kind of flipping and then like different things maybe popping up with the EDC, like a book, bookmark coming out that says EDC on it. And then the other one, I did like a Ben Hur version, which you thought of, which is kind of cool. So I did that on, EDC book, like EDC on one side and book club on the other side.
It's like, if you don't know, it's like the side of a mountain almost sticking out, like the Hollywood stone sign, but in stone, and there's like things around it that represent what it is.
Yeah.
I was also thinking, Dust, if you do have the book, and I don't know if this would be too confusing, like the Swiss Army knife makes sense, but maybe instead of the things coming out of it as traditional Swiss Army knife stuff, it can be like narrative things. I don't know what, but like,
things that
maybe
that make sense
maybe
like
an actual sword or maybe a wand and then a shovel and then a tree or something and then flowers coming out of it, you know, just like all these story trope things.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I think that's like almost a little harder to do. Like, I think that might work a little better with the, with like the book open and the pages kind of flipping and like things could be flying out, you know, like that. I don't know. Cause I think the funny part is that it's a Swiss Army knife, but it's a book, right? So the book is a book and then things are coming out from the book, like a traditional Swiss Army knife would have.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I like the idea. I like what you're thinking. Like, I was kind of thinking the same thing. Like, what else could come out other than the little saw and the knife right. and the scissors and the nail file, you know, and yeah. whatever else comes out, you know.
You're going to have the toothpick in the side of the book, too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's very important.
Yeah. So that was fun, like kind of just going through and I was like, I asked Nicole, you know, I was like, asked her what she thought, or, you know, I was like, give me any ideas. And she's just like playing on her phone. And I was like, come on, you're the graphic designer. Like, help me out and give me something. And that's when she was like, how about like a book that's a Swiss Army knife? And I was like, oh, that's pretty good. I was like, oh, I like that. I was like, draw for me. And then she drew a picture. It wasn't very good. I was like, okay. And then I redrew it the way I had it in my head. And I was like, that's better.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was fun. You know, I was like, I just, that was her idea. So, and it just like get popped in her head. I was like, nah, that's good. I like that one.
So we're, yeah. So either we'll pick one or we'll have it up for a vote or we'll just do like a bunch of different ones.
Yeah.
Just for fun, yeah, right. And let people pick.
Make some
whatever,
stickers.
Whatever they logo they want.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's fine. Like, why not? You know, we can have a bunch of different ones. Like, we're not starting a channel for it. You know, we're as far as I know, unless it gets huge, like we're not going to start a different Instagram for it or anything like that. Maybe we will, but
yeah, maybe just do like, and then if you did patches, they'd all have the same like frame or like thing around it. Like it could have the words everyday carry book club, like written out in the circle around the patch. They all have that same like outer circle. With what it is,
and then EDC in the book club, and our craftsmanship across the bottom or something, and then in the middle is the different logo, like the kind of, what's that, the Mount Phillip Metalworks, you know, he's got the like, the circle with his name around it, you know, a couple times, and then, you know, you can flip it around and whatnot. Yeah, I've seen a few other like that too. Yeah, it'd be cool. So yeah, so I was mentioning that because I have sitting next to me a envelope from TD Bank North, the company that does our credit card, and on the back of it are all the drawings. So I was like, I had that. I was like, oh, well, that's on that. So I brought it in. So that way, when we do the live, I'll show the folks.
Yeah, I had something like that too. I don't know where it went.
Yeah, I was just like doing it. And then actually,
I was on some scrap mail. Yeah, some
junk mail. I was looking for the other, like, the back of this, the drawing of the Swiss Army knife book is the one on here is Nicole's version and not mine. So I went to look for my version. I couldn't find it. It was like another scrap of something. So,
one hot tip that I use as someone who can't necessarily, come up with images off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. I don't have that skill, but I can recreate a lot of things, you know? Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to figure out,
you're a good
ideas
copycat.
Like that are draw things. What I do, what I do is I go to whatever subject I want and then just write clip art after it and Google search it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So tree clip art, book clip art, that whatever. And it, it just boils it down to 100 of the simplest versions of what you want. And then you can easily, and then it helps you understand what the object is and it helps you draw the object. Then I just by eye, you look at it and go, okay, I like that, and try to, you know, oh, that's what a stack of books is good to look. And you can get, you know, I don't copy the actual stack of books that they have, but I know, okay, that's right. That's how the angle goes. That's how it should look. And what are simple lines on top of it that they have already come up with that show the people looking at it what it is
in the most simple version. Yeah, clip art, right. Clip art boils an image down to its key features that everyone recognizes. So if you say clip art of a seal, it's going to have a seal, and it's going to be the right shape, and it's going to have the flippers, and it's going to have his whiskers, and, you know, like the things that a seal has that people realize that it's a seal and not just whatever, something else, you know.
And we used it once for when you were one of the bows, maybe both of them, but the first bow where you were trying to do a feather on top.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And you're like, well, I don't know. We were just discussing, like, how should I make it to make it look like a feather? And then I just searched up.
Yeah. It's like, are the lines coming from the spine of the feather?
Right.
Coming from the outside. Is that a leaf or is that a feather?
Right away. It lets you know, like, oh, from a feather, the splits come from the outside.
Right. Yeah.
It's just something like right away. Like, oh yeah, that's, because if you do it from the thing, you'll look like a leaf right away.
Right. Yeah. And it's just those, like you said, it boils, you know, the imagery down to the key elements. And I always said that's the difference between the way my mind works and the way Nicole's mind works as the graphic design mind, is that her mind works like clip art when she goes to draw something. Mm-hmm. Like, she can draw that the way it's boiled down for all the key features. Like, that's the way it just pops up in her mind. In my mind, when I think of something, like, I see it completely made, and then in my head, like, I see the real thing, and then I got to figure out how I draw that thing. You know, so I understand, you know, from years of going through art school and being an artist, you know, I understand perspective and I understand all these different things. I understand the basics of human anatomy and bone structure and all that thing. So all those come to play in my mind. But really, like, when I go to draw it, I'm thinking, how am I drawing this to look like the actual elephant on the Sahara, not not the symbols that make an elephant not stand out as an elephant.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, I'm like, okay, how is this? You know, I'm thinking of the actual proportions. And like, I see the actual thing in my head. So that's what I want to draw. So yeah, that's, and you know, obviously it's funny when I've multiple times have played Pictionary with people and they're like, oh, you know, we can't play against you. You know, you guys are all artists. And we're like, yeah, but that's not really how Pictionary works, right?
Yeah.
Pictionary is being able to draw really quickly in a way that other people recognize what you're doing. So it's not really about being able to draw well. Now, obviously, being able to draw well helps, right? Because it's like, okay, I know that
it
this
helps
thing.
To, yeah, it helps to a degree, though, but it also might hinder just a little bit because you're taking time to make it look
exactly
like a TV, and you start to maybe like
draw do, like a TV in perspective, rather
right?
Than
in perspective,
TV,
you're working on the corners and the this and that, and the person just does like a square frame with legs, an antenna,
the antenna,
you know?
Like, oh,
and
yeah, TV. Oh, TV, yeah, right, right, exactly.
You're still shading the edge.
Exactly, that's why I'm always like, no, it's not about being a really good artist, it's to being able to get across a point as quick as possible.
I love in Pictionary when you get so frustrated that you just draw the same thing again next to it and like point to it harder. Everyone's like, you already showed us that. You're just like, look,
draw something
this
else.
Is as clear as I can make it.
You're like, all right, let me do it again, because if I do it the second time, maybe it'll be a little better, and they'll really get it. It's still just like, looks like, they're like, the Red Sox. They're like, it's not a sock.
It's not a
sock. Florida. Come on. Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, so it was fun kind of coming up with those things and, you know, just you know, racking my logo brain. I was actually, for a while, I was working on a logo. I don't know if I sent you a picture of it. The AOC with the reflection of the AOC below it, but the letters EDC.
I think that was a bit. That was a lot.
It is. It's tough. It's not great, but I like the idea of it. Like, it's a cool look. It looks like a runes symbol. You know, like,
it
looks
it
like
does.
A
you're right. It
thing.
It,
you know?
It almost works.
Yeah.
I'm not sure though if we should include
AOC.
Maybe like a small badge in the corner or something.
Right.
But it's almost, we're trying to have a thing for everybody, even though we'll still kind of run it, but it's like, do we throw our name in there or not? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's,
I mean, they still know that they got to come to the podcast or to whatever thing we're doing, like.
Yeah.
If it gets that huge, we could discuss it.
Yeah, right.
Or we're making millions. On a book club.
Of a book club.
Like, so
this was the trick all along.
A quarter of profit per book, if we ever.
Yeah, right.
I keep, my buddy, guy who actually runs kind of a book business selling used books. So we talked a little bit about that, but I keep trying to cut him down on what he's saying things should cost, which is, he's the business guy. I'm totally not.
Right.
I'm like, we can't charge that much. Like, there's no reason to make that much, even though, you know, like I said, the top would be like $5 that we split.
Right.
But I'm like, that's not the point. Then they might as well just get their book from somewhere else.
Right.
You got to make it cheap enough to where.
Yeah, they
it
might
almost
pay a
has
couple
to be
extra
close
bucks.
To what they could. Yeah, maybe just a couple extra bucks, and that's paying for us for facilitating, obviously. And then you get a nice package every month without having to think about it, and without having to think about what book do I want to read next.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. So.
Yeah.
Like I said, there will be very little money made at all, if at all. Right. But it's just, I think it'll be fun to do and see if we can get the books and send them all out and just everyone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's more, I think, you know, like from what I could tell from your perspective, it's more about, you know, building the community, right? Having the fun of the like group. Right. And by doing this, like, we'll get the books and we'll like stamp them, you know, and you get the official one and it maybe has some new stickers in it or something, or, you know, like you get a bookmark, like that's all it's building the community. Right. We want people to do it because it's fun to be in a group, you know,
it's like, I want to do it. Yeah. Because mainly it's fun. And, you know, if we're at Maker Camp and I see someone with like a EDC book club patch, you know, it'll be awesome.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, heck yeah.
And we can, you can hand out books when you're there, Dust. Are we going to book club, remember?
EDC book club. EDC book club.
Here's our next book.
Maker club. Yeah, it'd be fun. Speaking of making things, we are a making podcast. We just posted the cutlery set post on YouTube, the video for the cutlery set, and that's you know, it's doing okay. It's, you know, not great, but whatever, that's fine. We got some good comments back on it, which is kind of fun. But I've, you know, have just been kind of in a good fun kick of doing small, delicate, detailed forging in general. And not that I've like done giant forging in the past, but, you know, doing something like a fork or a spoon, or, you know, or like I've done a penannular brooch, you know, the circular brooch with the pin that goes across. And, so just on Sunday I was out forging for a bit, and, Saturday or Sunday, whatever the like really beautiful day was. I forged a torque. So that's a Celtic necklace that's, you know, usually metal rigid and comes around. Yeah. It's open in the front with two kind of ends. So I'd been interested in doing a torque because I was kind of interested in doing like a long, thin thing, you know, like how do I forge out something really long and thin and then do something decorative. So I actually did a reverse twist, which turned out pretty good. So that's where I started in the middle and I twist one direction, like a 180 twist. And then I let that cool down and then I heated the next inch next to it. And then I did an opposite direction 180 twist. And then I heated the next inch next to that. And then I did an opposite. So I kind of went back and forth and you get this really cool back and forth, twist design, which is really nice. So I did that along the back and then the sides. And then in the front on either side of the torque, I just did, scrolls, just like, you know, just rounded over maybe a turn and a half on both sides. So I was like, the idea was like, I wanted to do a fairly simple torque, just because I think at this point it was more important to me to do one to like learn it, but also to try to make it kind of delicate and make it symmetrical, you know, try to make both things as symmetrical as possible. So like just trying to get the craft of it, as good as possible. And then like, after I do a few, like I realize it could be like a little bit thinner, you know, the whole, like I could forge down the bar even thinner to start with before I start my twist and stuff like that. And it could, you know, the one I made is, it originally fit me, like I had it opened up so it could fit me around my neck, but it was pretty small. So I gave it to Nicole and then fit it for her neck. And so it looks pretty cool. It was fun. It was just like, again, one of those types of forgings where I'm just trying to like get better at hammer control and learn some new things like the reverse twist I've never done before. So that was kind of cool. And then I did after that, or I was kind of in between that and then, working on like, you know, in my heats when I put it back into heat up, I put in another piece of steel and I worked on another, spoon. So basically the same thing that I did in the video, but another twisted spoon with the 180 twist, and just worked it a little thinner and got everything down, you know, like basically learning from that first spoon and doing another one, and trying to get it like everything a little bit more delicate, a little bit lighter, and like the whole bowl of the spoon a little thinner, but also a little bit deeper. So that turned out pretty good. Like I'm much more happy with, like, I think the overall look and design is really clean of the first Spoon, so that's all fine. It's just a little clunky. You know, it's a little big. Everything's just kind of sized up. Mm-hmm. So this one's, like, almost the same, just everything thinned down a little bit. So it's more, you know, it's kind of closer to an actual spoon or, you know, an actual whatever kitchen spoon that you get from a grocery store. So yeah, I was pretty really happy with the way that one turned out. And actually, it's funny because I did the twist on the handle same way I did the other one. So I did the 180 and I was like, oh, let me go all the way around. I'll do like 360. And it just did not look good. So I was like, threw it back in the forge, heated it back up, bent it back, you know, 180 degrees back to the original 180 and kind of hammered it out and flattened it out. And it was much better. So, and it was, some of it was like, where it was, twisting, you know, like it's really important to get your heat wherever you want that twist, however long you want it, you have to have really even heat. Otherwise, it's not going to be even, or it's like twisted too much on one end, and you know the twists come together, so they're not like the whole twist isn't evenly spaced out. And I think that's kind of what happened with the 360 one. So I just backed it off, and it was better. But yeah,
yeah,
but they were cool. So, and actually, it's
good stuff.
Yeah, I actually started this evening. I popped over to Sean's and. He had his forge up and running. He sent me a text and was like, you know, you don't come by, stop by. We're just hanging out. So I went over there and started working down another piece of bar stock just to taper it into a long square bar. And I'm going to do another fork just to try again, just to give it another shot, maybe make it a little bit longer before I, you know, to start off with before I do the twist, just so that way in the end, the fork is just slightly longer. So,
yeah. Yeah.
And again, making you know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, like, learning from, like, doing and learning, you know, because that spoon and the fork were my first of those two types of things. Like, I'd never done a fork like that before. I'd never done a spoon exactly like that before. So, you know, it's like Jimmy Duresta says, go to school in the first one, you know, go to school in the first or second one, you know, and then, you know, it's like, so I was doing it for the first time. I knew I could do it. I dished out bowls and I understood the idea of all of them. So I was like, well, I'll do it, you know? And, but yeah, definitely going back into it, just seeing and having the first one to be like, okay, these are the things that in the moment, it was fine, but now I see after it's done and I'm holding it, I'm like, okay, these are the things that I think I should change. That could be better, you know? So,
right.
And, you know, going back into it while it's still relatively fresh in my head and trying it again, you know, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I was going to say, what's the word? I don't know, not sharpening. What is the,
Honing. Honing my ability.
Honing the thing. Sense. And yeah, and the design and just handling it.
Yeah.
Being with it over time.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that was like the main thing. I think the fork, I really liked that. And I think, it was a little small just in general. And so in my mind, I was like, okay, the smallness actually works well for a portable carry on you fork. It can be a little small. But then the spoon and the knife need to be proportionate. And the spoon and the knife that I made were then too big for that, right? So now I'm kind of like sizing down. But I also think that fork is maybe just a little too small in general for me, for my hand. Mm-hmm. So I want to size that up just a little bit. Although I like the thickness of the bar and I like the, you know, the shape of everything that all worked fine. It was just could be a little longer.
It'd be kind of cool to make a fork that could slip on the end of a stick so you could use it camping as a skewer.
Oh, right,
to like cook a hot dog.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the only tricky part is you'd have to let it cool. Because you know? You're not going to pull it out of the fire and then grab it like a fork. But, like, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
You're but right. Like, it has, you know, holes that are separate, a little, you know, apart, half inch apart, that you could stick the end of the stick through three of them. And then it'd be like a skewer, and then you could use it as a fork.
Right, yeah, then you, like, you take it out of the fire, you know, shake off whatever's on it, and then set it down in the grass or something to cool down, you know, or blow on it a little bit. Yeah, that's a cool idea. I was, you know, I thought, and talking about the videos that we made, you know, we also put out two shorts and reels on the spoon and the fork. Mm-hmm. Like, thinking about that in the reel that we did of the fork, there's the one talking part where I'm like, you know, a fork has a bend to it. The same way that the spoon does, basically the same exact bend. But I was like, this one kind of feels like it wants to stay straight, you know, it wants to be flat. Like it was something about the design, you know, it wouldn't have worked. It would be fine, but it felt better the way it was. Mm-hmm. But if the handle did have a curve to it, you know, like handle curve up into the S curve into the tines, then that would be like maybe bent enough that you could actually run a stick straight through.
Oh yeah.
You know, through the first one and then out the second one because it's got some bend to it. Like,
yeah, that's
kind of cool. You know, cause I think that would be a nicer design than having like loops, you know, that kind of stick out. Cause then that kind of gets in your way. It's like when you use like the Boy Scout, you know, fork, knife, spoon thing that they kind of interlock it together with the little like locking things. Well, then it's like the spoon has these like knobs on it, you know, that like work with the other things, but it's always kind of annoying.
But yeah,
I mean, those are fun. Just like doing stuff in the forge is always fun, and just practicing those skills and, you know, trying some new stuff, but also, coming away with something that I would like. Nicole, I can't remember if I mentioned this, maybe I did. She asked me to do antlers from like a head, to make like a circlet with antlers coming from it, for a Christmas present or for a present like that. I asked her if she wanted something. And, so I've kind of like, the idea was that I would go out and practice that one first to get the idea of the shape. And also because it's something that I've wanted to do that's similar to what she wants, but not exactly. So I was like, well, let me just practice this first. Cause she likes the reverse twist. And she thought that'd be kind of cool to have that as part of it as well. So like, well, I'll do this one that I had in my mind first, try to get that done, see how it works out. And then that'll be the first one, right? Going to school and that one. And that by the time when I do the one for Nicole, I already have part of that already done.
Yeah.
Now the idea of like starting with some bar stock and then cutting off a piece or like splitting it at some parts where I could bring up antlers and then splitting those, that I can see how it all like turns out in my head, or I can see the process, but the actual, like the form and all is like still kind of floating around there. And the actual, you know, the process of doing it is a little crazy. So I'll probably have to do just a little test one where I just have a little piece of bar stock that I cut into, you know, slot it and then bend it and try to shape it and see how it works. You know, I think the hardest part with that is, with any time you're doing any kind of delicate forging is, being able to manipulate the steel in a way that you can actually shape the things that you want to shape, right? So if I want to like start with a bar stock, cut a slit down it so that way I can bend up a piece, and then from that piece slit it again so I can break off another fork, you know, another tine of the thing. So you're kind of like splitting these things out to break it. But then, okay, well, how do I then round that piece that I have now cut out? Because now it's like this sharp, you know, angular pointy thing. So then I have to kind of heat it and bend it straight out and then shape it and then bend it back into place and then like bend the next one straight out and shape that. And so it's like, it's very much of a process of like shaping and moving steel and holding it and doing like having the right process of steps. That way you come to the end with this thing that's not all fucked up because you've, you know, bent it all over the place and you've hammered it too thin and,
you know. Yeah.
It's fun. It's like a puzzle, you know, trying to solve a puzzle, which is always kind of cool.
If you watch it as a short, it seems like the easiest thing in the world. People say it, you make, you know, it's easy when you see the full video, like, wow, you really, but at least you see some of the time that it takes on a 1 minute thing. It's like that twist, adjust, done.
Yeah, right. Like, oh man, that really, you really did such a good job. Made it look so easy.
He's amazing.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Those were fun though. You know, putting up the, you edited the shorts, which are cool, you know, clip together everything into a minute. And then I just put the text over top of it.
It feels a little dirty, but it's what people do now. So,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know,
I don't mean it feels dirty as us reusing the same stuff.
Right.
I just mean like, yeah, changing the whole format of the thing into another thing. I mean, you hope it's like a trailer for your channel.
Yeah. Right.
That's why I kind of see like, oh, wow, that guy did that. I like what he did. I think I like him, like, good enough. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how much, how many people go from that.
Right, from maybe reels they, over to...
From reels team. Over to the person that created the reel. Because half the time, yeah. the thing, the person you're being shown by, the person that's showing you the thing,
mm-hmm.
it's just some recycled thing that they don't even own. You know what I mean? Half the right. time you see a video, it's like, oh, from blah, blah, blah. It's not even the same guy. It's just some company that pumps out yeah. a bunch of these things.
Right, or they don't even know where it's from, and they're like, DM for credit.
Like, yeah, right, right. So it's just someone, like, DM. Grabbing yeah. a bunch of people.
Right.
I mean, that's personally, crazy. But see, I'm not that heavy into Instagram, but I don't think I've ever, like, gone from, well, maybe, like, a few times. You see someone's, you know, a new person's short.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I gotta see who this person is.
Yeah, I've done that a couple times, but not yeah. often.
Right. It's kind of just like, oh, that was cool. Next. Because it's so quick. You're like, I'll move on yeah. to the next cool thing.
I mean, that's like, so theoretically, with Instagram, you're only seeing people that you follow until you get into Reels. Because then it goes into a different thing well, yeah, where it's just yeah. like feeding you right. the Reel, right?
Right.
And now, obviously, they definitely, Instagram will also feed you things in your normal stream. Like, oh, you might like this because you like this other guy, which is fine. But I guess, like, in the time that before Reels were really a thing, I was very happy with just seeing the things from the people I follow. Like, that was fine.
Right. Right.
But now seeing Reels and occasionally flipping through a few, it is the platform to learn from about new people, you know, and Reels will kind of, obviously they kind of adjust themselves to the things you like, you know, that shows you a lot. Like I follow one sailing account, and that's from Sail GP USA team, but I will often click on one of the like three little reel snippets that they show you as you're scrolling through. It's like three next to each other. Like, oh, that's kind of interesting. If it's a sailing video, I'll be like, oh, I'll click on that. And then it like, so it knows that I'm like, you know, I'm scrolling through sailing reels from different like Quantum Sails or whatever, North Sails, you know, videos of people sailing or giant yachts or a race, you know, happening between a couple boats, like, you know, that type of stuff. So like, I mean, I'm okay with that, you know. It's,
yeah, I just don't. Yeah, I don't know what it. I don't know what, YouTube Shorts. You know, it's. Yeah. I feel like. Yeah, you know, it's they want you on their platform,
right?
The longest amount of time you can be on it.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that, you know, you could have people watching the same guy, the same few people a lot. It's right. like, well, if we can also feed you reels that are real quick and you mess around your phone for 2 hours a day,
yeah,
you know, every little yeah. spare minute you get, that's fine too, because yeah. we got you for 2 hours a day, like, or whatever it is, you know.
Right. Yeah,
it just, I don't know, it goes away from helping the creator, and it just helps Google, right. YouTube.
Yeah,
I don't know, it's a weird thing to try to figure out.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and sometimes it feels like, you said, a little dirty, you know, you're like, That's not what I wanted from the original thing, you know. It's like,
right?
I don't want to do that. It's not what I wanted, you know. Like, stop it. I don't want to do that. That's not what I want. This whole platform. Right. It's not going the way I want it to go. Like, it's like not going.
We started this because we wanted to make a rock and roll band, and now everyone's forcing us to do a disco album.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, we can do it. Like, you can dance to it, I guess. It's fun.
Yeah.
But we're trying to make stuff that lasts.
Right.
Not a...
yeah, know. I was just watching Tested Adam talking about something. I forget what it was he was talking about, but it's one of the snippets from his live videos he does. Mm-hmm. He was talking about a guy that he used to be around or know. I can't remember his name, but maybe it's the guy... It's the artist Milton Avery? Is that it? No. Milton somebody. I forget. But it's the artist who... I think, if I'm thinking of the same story, the artist that came up with the Love logo, or I Heart New York. That one. It was like the I Heart New York.
Mm-hmm.
So he came up with that logo, and he got, like, no credit. I mean, he got credit for it, but, you know. But he's, like, that logo has made people tons and tons of money, and oh, not yeah. him, you know.
Right.
And I think another quote from him, which is what I was getting at, was something along the lines of, if you do something great, or if you do something that's what people are going to know you for, and that's what they're going to want you to do every time. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you do this thing, people will want to see that thing because that's what they know. But like, even if you want to change up and do new things, they're still going to want to see that original thing. You're going to have to do that forever.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, that's sad sometimes. Now,
springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think, you know, obviously we have a different type of community where we can, you know, or depending on what you want, like it depends on how much you are dependent on the audience to make sure you live the life you want to live.
You know?
So in our circumstance, we're not dependent on the audience to be able to live our lives. It's nice when the audience agrees and they give us tons of views, you know, but we're not dependent on them, because it's not our full-time job to be content creators. Now, if it's your full-time job, then you might need to be more adaptable and more, willing to change and do what the audience wants.
Yeah, I will say if you did change totally and it still didn't work out, then you really feel bad.
Yeah, right.
You like hoard yourself out.
This guy. Like,
oh wow. At least you have money. If you like sell out, but you get the money, it's like, so what? Like, I don't care.
Yeah, right.
Like if YouTube could tell creators this is exactly the video you need to make, right. You know, 95% of the people go, all right, sure. Like, I'll try that. Yeah. But no one knows, so you try stuff and it sticks or it doesn't. Like, but I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, shorts feels a little dirty, but it's fine because it's just another way to get people to see your stuff. And
yeah,
I think they're cool to make something into a minute. Like doing something from start to finish in a minute, I think is interesting, and I don't mind editing it. Like, it's kind of fun to edit to really figure out, boil it down to what are the few shots you need out of this, like, 35-minute timeline. What should I grab and stick in there?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So yeah. There we are.
Cool. All right. So, do we want to do recommendations now instead of after
the podcast? I don't know how stuff. We'd wrap it up. So, like we said before, we're going to try to go on Instagram, and I guess you guys can see this later and go back and see it on Dustin's, on the Art of Craftsmanship.
Yeah, so we're going to, what we'll do is we'll kind of wrap up the podcast here, but we're going to continue the podcast. We're going to do the first kind of, so we're wrapping up the normal podcast. That's what I was saying, if we want to do like the recommendations now, that way if people aren't necessarily, or they don't want to listen to
it. If you're not into books.
Yeah, if you're not into books, those people. although everyone who's been listening for the last week has just listened to us, a couple weeks has been listening to us talk about books.
We don't care. We don't want to read.
Geez, we want to hear about what you're doing. Well, we talked about the. Actually, I got a good comment from a guy. He was a YouTuber and said he really enjoyed the last podcast, especially from someone who is a content creator. He said it was really good. Mm-hmm. So my recommendation this week, and I figure we'll do this now, and that way then we'll switch over into the half of the book review, is the show Elementary, with Lucy Liu and Johnny Lee Miller. Johnny Lee Miller, I think. And it's a Sherlock Holmes TV show. This is one that came out maybe 15 years ago or so, 10 years ago. So Corinne, over the last maybe 5 or 6 years, has gotten really into the different Sherlock movies and shows. And, we saw like the Sherlock, what's it? Enola Holmes, you know, like his sister, those movies, which were really good. And then we watched the whole, 5 series of the, Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman Sherlock show from BBC, mm-hmm. which is just amazing. Good. And then so recently I just picked up from the library the first season of Elementary, which is a really cool show, and I think they do a really good job of kind of doing a New York version of Sherlock Holmes. So, you know, the main premise is that he was in London, like he was, you know, working with the London police, Scotland Yard. And then for one reason or another had like got really into drugs and basically had to go to a rehab facility. And so he came to, his father basically told him like, you have to go to rehab or basically you'll be out on the street, like no more money, like whatever. So he went to this rehab facility and then now he's in New York City and Lucy Liu, who plays Joan Watson, a female Watson, which is kind of fun, is his sober companion. So she comes to be with him to be like, it's supposed to be 6 weeks that she's like living with him 24/7. And she is his like companion person to help the transition from, you know, rehab into daily life, and test him and make sure he's not, you know, doing drugs, stuff like that. So, but you know, her character obviously now becomes the Watson, right? So it's the Holmes and Watson duo. And it's just a really awesome, I really like their, you know, like the way they work back and forth. I like their dialogue. I like the interplay, like the female male interplay, which is fun, you know, because it's not like a sexual thing, but there's still that thing there. That's always the difference between, you know, men and women. It's different from men to men. So it's a good show. We watched I've seen episodes from when it was on TV, but we just started watching it the other night and Corinne was like super addicted. So she's like, I want to watch another. It's so good. So that's fun. So yeah. So that's my recommendation this week is Elementary, with Lucy Liu and Johnny Lumo. It doesn't hurt either. Cause Lucy Liu was smoking hot. I always thought she was so cute. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oren Ishii.
Oren Ishii. Yes.
Okay, mine is, it'll be because I just bought something from him, and I think you're going to too. Evan Watson, the hand engraver, which we've had on the podcast, and we know from Maker Camp, and
yep.
He's a friend of ours. He does great like hand engraving, and he's been doing these like awesome watch faces, really cool stuff, and putting watches together and selling those, which I think are awesome, and wrote a really cool, like, interesting idea to mix those two kind of arts together.
Yeah.
But he's also selling $20, like, stocking stuffer engraved pennies.
Oh, that's damn cool.
So, I just bought one. So, if you want a piece of, like, definitely a piece of art from someone who can do it great and do it well, they look really cool. Buy yourself a little lucky penny, you know, it says keychain or whatever. But so I just got one
nice
for my wife. So I'm going to put that in her stocking.
Nice. Yeah, I bought one for myself. I was like, nice. I saw him post it. It was like $20 keychains. I was like, what? I was like, oh, man, count me in. Like, instantly. He was like, oh, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, 20 bucks. Come on.
Yeah, man. And, you know, he's such a good artist, like such a good craftsman, like what he does in hand engraving is so high quality,
right?
You know, to have something from him that's like done by his hand with like this amazing engraving, you know, even something as small as a penny, like it's for $20 to get a keychain and get this person's art, you know, like for that small amount of money, that's like a piece of what they do, where, you know, he's selling hand engraved watches for thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, like that's a no joke game, you know, like he's like top tier.
No, yeah, it's stuff like that. You can't get that person's art for very much. Yeah. It's like getting any artist that you really respect.
Yeah.
Either their stuff is going to be expensive and engraving is self-evident at the time it takes and why you're spending the money, which art isn't. We all know that. Like some people are like, why would I buy that? I can do that. Or something along those lines.
Right.
This, you know, you cannot do. And you know it took time. So it's just to have that. So go get a penny from him. I'm sure he's got a bunch of them. And, you know, if you put it out there, like, it's such a steal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so cool. Yeah,
so check him out. He's a great guy. He's been on the podcast. We'll have to have him again on soon.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Go buy some pennies from him.
Sweet. Awesome. Cool. All right. Well,
hang with us. We're going to, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to transition. So I'm opening up Instagram now, and I'm going to go live.
Boy, this is going to be shaky, folks.
Yeah. Oh, it's not. It's fine. Some of us have done live before.
This is shaky.
All right, there we go. Okay, so I'm going live. Dev, I'm not going to invite you. You just have to just ask to join, and then you can join.
Okay.
So just open up Instagram, and you'll see at the top, my name will pop up, or you'll see a little thing that says, The Art of Craftsmanship is going live now.
Do we want to do a summary first of the whole thing?
Let's do it live.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm before we jump on Instagram, I know we're discussing it now. It's also kind of live on the podcast.
Yeah.
But do we want to, jump on, I guess we'll talk about the book and then talk about, give a summary of the story up till then.
Sure, yeah.
And then we'll do some predictions.
Yeah, I like it.
All right.
Cool. All right, here we go. And live in 3, 2, 1. Hey, guys, welcome back. All right, we're live. You're watching. I'm recording the podcast currently. It is 10:37, and Devin's about to join me. As soon as he does, then there we are. There, the camera guy joined. So as soon as Devin joins me, then we're going to get into talking about the book from the EDC Book Club. All right, view request and go live with the Art of Camera Guy.
I did request to join.
Yes, it's going up now. Hello, there's B-Cone Knives. All right. So, Devin, are you joined? Here we go.
I think so.
There. All right, just turn yourself around. So we did a little test beforehand to see how this would work, so we'll see. Should be good. Big Bear Custom Metals on here. Look at all these cool. LG Craftworks. All right. So here we are. I have my audio down. So hopefully everybody can hear everything. So welcome, guys. We're doing recording the podcast currently, and this is the end of the podcast. And I just said this for everyone listening to the podcast, but we're just reiterating it for the people that are jumping on now. We are going to talk about Max Brooks's De-Evolution or De-Evolution. The EDC Book Club, we're going to do a little bit of synopsis and then some predictions, because Deb and I are both equally 51% through the book.
Yeah, up to chapter 12. So
yeah. There we go. So here's, look, there you go. Those of you who saw this on Instagram, open immediately. And actually, I want to show this real quick. So I actually got this off of a Maryland driver, like the what's that called? Easy pass. You know, it was like, action required, open immediately. I was like, I want that for my bookmark. It's perfect. All right. So EDC Book Club, we've been reading this book. We started a couple weeks ago, and Devin and I have made it about halfway, so we thought it'd be fun to do a synopsis, and we figured it'd be fun to do it live. So that way, if you guys are reading along, then you can also... you can watch this video to see this, and it's also on the podcast. It'll be there too. Spoiler alert, not a real spoiler alert, because we're only halfway. There won't be any ending spoilers, because we don't know. So we're going to do predictions. So Dev, you want to do a synopsis, or do you want to start a synopsis?
Yeah, I can try. You'll have to help me. So I didn't write it down. This is all new to us.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, this is our first one. So yeah, you showed it, right? See, I can't see your...
I can't see your feed,
but I have it up on the computer now, so I can see it.
Look at you.
And my nice hardback that I haven't used to read. I have the Kindle. So, like it says on the cover, a first-hand account of the Rainier Sasquatch Massacre. So you basically have a bunch of... Where are they from?
This is northeast.
No, they're from like Portland and all those places.
Yeah, right? they're close to Seattle. I think it's like from Seattle.
Hipster yuppie family people, and what they decide, the it all is from the viewpoint of this woman who goes with her husband, and they go to this community called
Green.
There's a map here. I'm trying to find. I don't know. Let me see if I can show the map.
Oh yeah, actually,
they did give you a nice
little map. I do like the map. It's cool. Yeah.
Anyway, so there's six families, and they're all in this circle. around one common house in the middle, and they're trying to start a little, like, commune, but without all the work, you know? Yeah. And yeah, but it's like a tech thing where they're like, this girl's describing in her journals, like, there's Wi-Fi everywhere, I love being out here, I hike every day. Like, everything starts out really, really nice, obviously. And then, I mean, it has to devolve into an issue, because it wouldn't be very much fun to read.
It's a Sasquatch massacre.
Yeah. So from there, she gets there with her husband, and I don't know what you think, but she doesn't like him very much in the beginning.
Right.
Because he's laid off from work.
And I guess, like, from what we've read so far, her brother was one of the members of the, like, collective of people who lived out there. And her brother and his, I think, husband or something. I don't know exactly why he had to leave, but because we haven't read that yet, but he had to leave. And he suggested his sister and her husband move into their spot. So they did. And so they're there with these other families. All the other families already know each other because they've been there a little bit longer, but they've just moved in. And so they're getting to know the different people, and getting the lay of the land. And then, I guess not too long into when they've been there, maybe only like a week or so, or a couple weeks, Mount Rainier explodes and, you know, erupts. And in doing so, it severs their hard line, because they have Wi-Fi there, because they're like out in the wildernessy area that there's, like, tons of unpopulated area land around the country, but especially out there in the northwest, it's like very tons of secluded areas. So they're in the middle of this really secluded area. Now they're like an hour and a half from Seattle, but they're in this dense, you know, secluded area. But they wanted to have this place that was, very self-sufficient. So everything is like solar powered, as well as they have like geothermal heat. And then they also have methane collection units under their houses for power and other things, you know, and like, but their internet connection, so their connection to the outside world, was an actual hardwired connection, because they were like, well, we want to do something other than just like, you know, satellite. We want to have something that's actually hardwired, so you won't ever lose speed for your connection. But in the eruption of Rainier, that line is cut.
Right.
So they lose all their connection to the outside world other than the radio, because their cars still work. They do have like cars there, and so they're able to listen to them on the radio, or the one car thing that they had there. And then there's this, like, I forget what it's called. It's a word they use that describes basically a flow, like a landmass flow, like mud and things, you know? So it's like what you would imagine, like lava, but not lava. It's like everything that's heated and melted and slid, you know, like landslides have basically cut them off. Their only road, they've cut them off, to the outside world, so they actually can't get out. And so they really quickly devolve into a, how are we going to survive?
Kind of like the different family. Use that.
None of us can use that word, devolve. you know,
it's a devolution.
Like, yeah. But yeah, so they're like trying to figure out what they're going to do, if they're going to try to survive, if they're going to just wait, if they're going to depend on their friends and family to reach out to them, and like, who has, like, you'd see their personalities change and things. There's this one couple that's like the iconic, like, the wife is a model and she does yoga on YouTube and stuff, and
they're, the husband, they're like the influencer power couple, like,
yeah. And they're very like in charge, and they're very like confident and make sure everyone's like happy and trying to make sure things are going well. And then at one point they just disappear. And the main character can't get a hold of her. And she's like, keeps ringing the doorbell and knocking on the door. And she just hears like the whir of their elliptical and stuff
like that. They disappear because the crap hits the fan, right? Mm-hmm. So once it explodes, the husband goes apparently to go look for help, the guy. But he comes back all shell-shocked.
Yeah,
and like all his cool Like in the book, the mm-hmm. the girl she likes him. Like she's like, oh, that's a real man, my husband. Blah blah blah. This right, guy yeah. has control of the room. He's like this alpha guy. And then, but once he comes back, when he's seen something real, he falls apart. And then,
yeah.
His wife is also still trying to run things because at this one point, spoiler alert, these are all going to be spoiler alerts up to halfway through the book.
Right.
there's a couple with a daughter, right? Is it boy or girl?
That's a girl. Yeah, Palomino. Right.
So there's a cougar or some type of mountain lion that is right. about to attack her, and they rush in, and one of the neighbors, she, you know, kills the or stabs it, and it runs off. Right. And the one main chick is super upset about it. Like, you didn't have to do it. That's just what it's meant to do. Like, it
wasn't going to attack her.
It wasn't going to attack her. It was just like, but it seems like it was going to. So she, and then it's kind of publicly defeated in that. Everyone's like, well, we needed to do that. So they disappear. So halfway through the book, we don't know where they are, so we can do some...
Right. And, so. Yeah, there's, like I said, there's, like, one point where the main character, she goes to their house. She's, like, knocking on their door, and she hears the sound of what she thinks is, like, the elliptical, and she sees that, like, maybe the TV is on, and she sees a shadow, like, cross in front of the TV, because she can't mm-hmm. really see in, but, you know, she's, like, mm-hmm. through blinds, or she sees, like, a shadow cross over and then cross back over, so... We're assuming they're still in the house. You know, we're assuming that they're just shut in and trying to figure something out.
I definitely think they're there, for sure. Okay, so that's the summary. I think that kind of brings everyone up to date. Well, no.
Well.
Okay, so go, right. So the things start happening, and then the neighbor, what's her name?
Mostar. Yeah, she she kind of pulls our main characters aside, the main couple, and she's like, all right, this is what we're going to do. Like, you're going to clear out the garage, like she's saying to the husband.
Oh, Dan, yeah, like right
you're
away.
You're clearing out the garage. Go in there right now. Do this. Like, you got to bring in dirt. We're going to make it a garden. We're going to do this. Like, her mindset is like, we need to survive.
Right.
What are we looking at?
I'm just showing the...
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so... Like, she gets them kind of going in this, like, okay, you're going to help me, and we're going to catalog all the food. We're going to, like, go into survival mode. But they're not really letting the rest of the community into this quite yet, because I think Mostar knows that if she kind of pushes this onto everyone, they're all going to freak out. So she understands that she can control the main couple because they're the least confident. And she gets them going.
Not the main couple, but the couple.
The main characters.
The point of view. Right, right.
Yeah, the main characters, the wife who we're reading her journals, because the whole book is written through, like, her journals. So we're reading her journals. It's her and then her husband, Dan. So she kind of gets... Yeah, she gets them, like, going right away. And then slowly the rest of the community starts understanding and doing the same thing one way or another. And then they hear... Like, they all get woken up in the middle of the night because they hear this crazy screaming and stuff in the woods, and they're hearing this, like, what they think is the cougar fighting something else in the woods, because they hear the sound of the cougar, like, roaring, and then they hear this, like, deeper, heavier roar go along with it, and then this, like, sounds of battle that are happening in the woods between the cougar and something. And so they don't know what it is. They think maybe it's a bear, you know, who knows, whatever. And then a couple nights later, they're hearing, like, another sound or something. And the main character, she keeps smelling this really, like, rotten egg smell, like trash smell every time mm-hmm. she's hearing this thing or whatever. And then a couple nights later, they hear something else or something happens, and she basically looks out the window, and she sees a super tall... hairy ape-like thing standing in her backyard and then, like, running up into the hill or something. And then she's like, she says she sees these, like, glowing dots in the woods staring back at her.
Right.
So she obviously sees what she now believes to be Bigfoot.
And she, like, also thinks she was kind of chased by one to a degree.
Right. Yeah.
She saw something in the road that she thought was a big rock, and then it stood up.
Right.
And as she ran, she thought she felt the same thing near her. So there's been a few encounters.
Yeah.
but nothing totally clear yet.
Right. Yeah, so obviously the book is called the A First-Hand Account of the Rainier Sasquatch Massacre, so we know that's where it's going. But now we're starting to see this, and like, and they're starting to have these discussions between the group, and they don't want to say like it's Bigfoot because that's going to freak everybody out. But they also, they're like all coming to the same conclusion, like, well, what's this thing? What's this sound? Like, who could come down? Who's in these woods? Like, is this a bear? Is this this? Like, you know, there was this big like compost bin that's bolted to the ground that was basically torn off the ground and ripped open and eaten and stuff. And so, oh, maybe that was what she, that's what woke her up, is because she heard it, you know, doing that or whatever. But yeah, so now we're right on the, like the crux of this, like something big happening. And, yeah, I think you sent me a message like 2 or 3 nights ago and you're like, all right, are we going to talk about it? What's going on? Are we doing halfway? Cause you're like, I'm halfway. And you like sent a picture of your Kindle and it's like 51%.
Right.
And that was like 12. Maybe 50 pages or so behind you. So, I did kind of realize that, you know, if we do this, if we continue to do this and we want to like read and stop and discuss, if we want it to be like a pure discussion of like what we really think is going to happen, we will have to wait. So it's like, okay, well, are we going to say, okay, from now on, we'll give ourselves like 2 weeks to read the first half of the book. So like, if you don't want to get there too quick, like spread it out some, because like that was the thing, is like, now we got to wait a couple of days before I can read more, and I'm interested in reading more, so I don't
know. Yeah, that's where I'm not sure about. Maybe we just complete it and we all discuss it, but I kind of like the idea that we're going to take some guesses about what happens and see how far we're all off.
Yeah, I agree,
you know. So that was the summary.
Right,
so we got Instagram lives going, we got some people watching.
Yeah.
A live podcast. It's Donnelly Brothers. Yeah.
Yeah. Daniel Donnelly's here. JD Custom Knives is here. It's a bunch of good people.
B-Cone recommendations. Yeah. So I know everyone. Hey, a live podcast for the first time ever, even though we're not doing the thing that we normally do. We're doing something totally different. We're doing a book club. Everyone's like, oh, lame.
Yeah. Right.
They're talking about Bigfoot. We're talking about books.
So folks that are here, there's Roy from Crest Center Ironworks is here. So if you're interested and if you are reading along with us and you want to comment now and you like, let us know what you think might happen. And that's kind of what we're talking about now, is what our guess is, you know, making some guesses on what's going to happen next.
What's the book you're just talking about? Max Brooks, Devolution. Yeah, we're going to do a book, maybe depending on the size. This one's pretty small, so we will take a month. But if they're bigger, we're going to take, maybe up 2 months, depending. Yeah. We don't want it to be such a rush, but now we're excited about reading it. And I had to stop the other night because I wanted to keep going. And then around the halfway point, we'll do something like this. I don't know if we'll always be on Instagram, but so people can jump in and they could even join, like if you read it. You want to join and talk about it, but
I think it would be fun to do a live like at the end, or I guess like that's the whole point. It's like we want the community interaction as well. So if people are reading along, you know, we'll kind of we can kind of post along the way too. Like now we know that we're halfway through, so it's like, okay, well, if we're halfway through and it's been 2 weeks since we started reading it, well then maybe another 2 weeks. So if people are reading along with us and you want to join us at the end, maybe we'll do like a YouTube live or something, because the network's a little bit bigger. But that'd be kind of fun, because then we can like do more discussion, like actually have a discussion and chat with people. Although Instagram is kind of nice because we can have some people like join in. So if people want to join with us and chat with us while we're here, we could do that as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. But all right. But so what do you think?
What do you think about the book? I think the way Max Brooks, he did, for people who don't know, he did World War Z and the zombie survival guy, which I really liked. And they're all like in that first person, like someone telling a story about what happened. It's good. I think this one's a slow start, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My buddy Guy did not like it. He went through 4 chapters and he's still reading it because I told him.
I was going to say, dang. He's like, I'm dead.
He was like, this is boring. She's complaining about how much she doesn't like her husband. That's about it. I'm like, you got a point. But I was like, they're developing a story. They're developing character. It's a slow burn. You got to hang with it. Like, you can't bail 40 pages into any book, really. You gotta... You hope all that stuff you learned about the people comes in and helps at the end, right? That's, like, good story writing, like, 101, I guess. Or it could just be boring the whole time and then you go, wow, that did suck.
Yeah. Roy's asking if they have it in audiobook format. Yeah, I don't know.
Yes, they do.
They do. Nice.
I have it on my Kindle. And anyone, if you don't know, you can whatever your local library is. If you don't have a library card, you can go there and sign up, and they have digital books to read on a Kindle or just to listen to on Bluetooth, on whatever you have. And so they're free. So I have a copy of it on. Audio. On the Kindle for Libby. Free. Libby, right. So there's an app, Libby, and something else where you can
Through that app, through the library, we could do it, like, either through, a digital book or audiobook. I agree, Roy. I'm a huge audiobook listener as well, especially commuting back and forth to work, things like that, and then working in the shop. When we're not filming, putting on a book, but it is nice. It is nice to have a paper version of a book or have like a real version of the book. I think for the book club, we'll probably continue to do that. Cause that's like, what do we say? Maybe like 6 books a year or something, or like 7-8 books a year. So, build up the collection. And then, what we're also thinking it might be kind of fun is for us to, work with some people that we know to get books and then have them like stamped and send them out to people. So when we know what the next book is going to be, we'll probably put out like a feeler and see if people sign up and they want to be part of it. And then if they do, then we'll get like a list of people and we'll buy that many books and then send them out, get them, stamp them, send out some stickers, maybe some book, bookmarks or something cool.
I don't think it'd ever be over 15 or 20 bucks max. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be too expensive. A little bit more than probably what you could find on Amazon, but...
Right.
Anyway, so... Slow start, I do agree with that a little bit. And the format is a little... I think the format, to me, would have been more interesting if it was just kind of traditional, like... I just want to hear about the story.
Right, just
a traditional... I don't necessarily care about the way she's describing it. Like, it's like, okay, but then... So it goes through that, her describing it. But then the amount of detail she adds in things.
Right.
Because the idea is she's writing journals for her therapist. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing, is why she's like sharing it. But the detail is so much so that it just goes into normal
storytelling.
Normal storytelling, which no one would ever write in a journal.
Right.
Like very
descriptive. Yeah, so you have to kind of suspend that belief a little bit.
You're like, oh, now it's just someone explaining a scene.
I guess so, though, because she's usually writing it like... It obviously is a little bit more, right? I think that's her therapy, is to like just to write, And so she's like, that's her brother says, just write as much as you can. That'll help you. So she's like writing. It's like, this is kind of weird. I'm like, should I write about this? Blah, blah, blah. Right. And
it starts like that. But then it's this really kind of intense scene written as just a normal author would write it. But so that's okay for me. Like, I could give or take, like, whatever. Like, that's all right.
I do like that they do that, and then it adds in the, like, you jump from her perspective to the perspective of her brother from the future, like looking back on it, and then the perspective of this, like, different forest rangers, and then sometimes you'll get snippets from, experts on Bigfoot and lore, and the scientists that talk about what is Gigantopithecus, and maybe their theories about how there might be a Bigfoot type creature around the world. Yeah, and
I think you could have done that without her journaling, though. You could still have that at the beginning of the chapters, and that be like your thing.
But but I think that it's important to the author that he puts you in this. He's building a story that's not his writing. It's an account of other people, right? Because that's the whole point. And I kind of like it. I dig it that it's different than what we're used to. Like, it's kind of fun.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
All right. So what do we think is going to happen? I'll tell you what I think. What I hope happens is that I hope the massacre starts soon, and there's some really intense, crazy deaths. Right. That's what I want.
Yeah, right.
Because none of these people are that likable anyway.
Yeah.
A few of them are, but they can all go. Like, I was kind of hoping the little girl would die.
Oh, man.
You know, like, I was hoping, like, that, because that would spark some wild stuff. Like, if she goes down by the cougar attack. And then, or dies a few days later, and then everything really hits the fan. Everyone's freaked out. You know, the family runs to escape, and then they get destroyed. So that's what I'm hoping happens, is the massacre starts very soon.
Right.
Because I think there'll be some really interesting, fun ways to all these people go down.
Yeah, and obviously we know it's going to be a massacre, you know. I'm wondering...
But that could be a little bit of a trick. They all could have been, like, half of them could be kidnapped. Or they did say they found a lot of bodies, but
yeah,
maybe some have just been, like, taken.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I feel like they're leading us to something that's special about the Palomino character. Right, she's like very quiet, very shut off, but now she's starting to open up a little bit to a few different people, and she's like, I think maybe she knows something about Bigfoot, or like maybe she has a history or something with it, because the way she's looking, she's responding to people who are like kind of starting to think about it or might be leaning toward that type of thinking. Like, I don't know, maybe she has some weird like connection, or there's something there with that character that I think would be fun, that they could do something fun with. But it could also be, it could be like, you know, she's like, oh yeah, I have this sort like she opens up and everyone believes her. And then like, you know, Sasquatch comes like running by and takes her like Batman from the old cartoon, like, whoa.
Right. Or she's like, blood everywhere. Thinks she can commune with it. Someone's going to go up to the thing. That's probably a scene. Yeah. I think that will happen is one of the most hippie people are going to be like, they're going to approach it. And then it's just gonna living, grab their arm like a Wookiee and just rip it off.
Like a Wookiee.
And everyone's going to lose it. Because none of these people are prepared for anything. You know, they don't have any weapons. They're definitely not... I don't think they're Second Amendment advocates.
They have it's like a... I guess is it a kitchen knife that attached to a piece of bamboo or something? That's their spear.
They're not really, none of them are prepared.
Yeah.
But, so I'm thinking, I just think it'll be a massacre. I think, wasn't there, they said that there was a body they couldn't find or, maybe there was a few people they couldn't find or something.
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember hearing that, but that definitely like, I think that's, you know, that gives us something. I think that opens up possibilities of what you might do, right? Oh, yeah, I guess they did say that, right? Yeah, they were like hadn't found everybody. Because it's hard to find people in the like in the remote wilderness or whatever. Yeah, and I think I don't know. I'm excited to like see people try to flee, you know, and get like lost in the woods. I think that might happen because they're so far out, you know.
Yeah,
like I feel like they're gonna get lost, and then there's gonna be that typical scene of like. You know, you're like hearing things all around you. I'm excited to see like a family of Bigfoot, you know, like a whole group of them that are hunting together. Cause they're kind of also, in the book they talk about, there's a theory that, Bigfoot like followed the Homo sapiens, because at the time of the mass migration from European continent to the American continent across the Bering Strait, the Bering Land Bridge, that's how, you know, Native Americans made it to our continent in, you know, 100 million years ago. And there's the thought that possibly like we were hunting the big game. So we were following them. And then like, we were also the game for Bigfoot. So they were following us like to get like, and then, you know, they get over here and we take over basically the continent and kill all the big, like crazy creatures like the, woolly rhino and the saber-toothed tiger and whatever else, like all these giant things. And then because we populated quicker than they could, now they've gone into hiding, but now they've gone back to their like roots of hunting, you know, using humans as food, and they're now hunting this group.
So yeah, it's interesting. It's fun. I like it so far. It's not a long book, so I mean, cleared through it pretty quick. It's like, how many pages total?
What do we got? We're at 145.
Don't look at the ending stuff. Yeah, it's just like almost like 280 or something.
286,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, good stuff. Yeah, our first one. It's really strange. We're not going to only, you know, like I said on the other podcast, we're not just going to do weird ones like this. Maybe right. Some will be biographies. Some will be real stories. Some will be fake. Maybe some fantasy. Maybe sci-fi. Maybe real war stories, stuff like that. Just fun.
Yeah.
Nothing too heavy. Obviously, right. Like war stuff can be, but just something to help us figure out what we're going to read next. Hopefully help you guys figure out what you're going to read next. And then have people to talk about it too. So it's exciting.
Yeah, and just give us like different perspectives and different books to read and look at. And
so let us know. It's the EDC Book Club, hashtag that. You can hashtag The Art of Craftsmanship. Show us your book. There's been a bunch of people already who have ordered them and are reading them, so that's cool. We're excited to build it up and have a bunch of people read the books we're reading, and we'll take polls and let other people choose, and it'll just be a big fun mess of readers.
We'll figure out what we want to do for, like, you know, we've talked, like I said, talked about doing a Instagram live again, or maybe a YouTube live or something like that, but we'll decide how we want to do that so we can actually have a group come together. There may be, you know, those people who support us through Patreon also get access to the Discord channel, which we really appreciate. And so, you know, we'll see. Maybe we'll do something there too that could be fun, kind of fun. Or, you know, maybe depending on people, like maybe if people pre-order books or something, we can give them access to Discord as well. And then we can do like a Discord chat over there. It'd be kind of cool. So. So it's fun. I like the book so far. I think it's really good. And it's also, like you said, because we had to stop, you know, wait like a day and a half or so to record, that we were like both ready to move on because it's really getting good, or like potential is good. So I'm excited for some deaths to happen, because I think that's important. I'm excited for more Bigfoot, to get like more interactions with it. And I'm also excited to see how they get into its intelligence, right? Like, because I feel like there's going to be something that we're going to learn about, like Bigfoot, and I guess the idea is that what we've kind of learned to this point is that they're basically running from the Rainier eruption as well, and they're kind of dislodged from their homes, and they're pushed out, and now they're trying to survive or whatever. So they've come across this group.
It's going to end where the family of big feet will be in the village,
living in the village.
They will fix the TVs and the solar panels, and they'll be watching Netflix and
watching the news. And people were like, "We never could find that village again." Right? Took it to their. They stink so much.
Stinks so that we can't even go up there. It smells like old eggs.
Cool. All right. Well, everybody listening, thank you guys for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us for this little extra bit of the EDC Book Club review. We'll probably revisit this in a couple weeks when we do the ending or something. We'll talk about it on the podcast, of course, because it's fun to talk about. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you don't forget to head over to Instagram. Those of you who are on Instagram watching the live, we appreciate it. But you can follow both Devin at The Art of Camera Guy and myself at The Art of Craftsmanship, and head over to YouTube. And check us out there. Like we said earlier in the podcast, we did just put out the video for the cutlery set, and then the two shorts on the spoon and the knife, the spoon and the fork, and then we have the third short that we'll do as well. We'll put that one out too. I'll lead people back to the video and check out the long form if you want, which is cool. Cool. All right, Dev. Anything else?
That's it.
Cool. All right, guys. Thank you all so much for listening. And thank you those who are watching with us live. Appreciate it. We will talk to you all next time.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.